So there are two different verses, passages of Scripture I thought about sharing with you today for our 10/20-minute truth. 15 final offer. And I think that I'm just going to share them both with you. I'll just rock it through both of them. No, actually, sitting there as we're singing these songs, I realized both of these passages are very closely connected to each other. And so I want to share them with you. But before we do, let's just pray. Lord, we are going to open your word, and we are going to ask you to reveal to us the truth. We ask you, Lord, to send your Holy Spirit to bring understanding of the mystery of the gospel, that we would grasp a hold of the powerful things that you want us to see. I pray that they would become realities in our life, not just things that we know in our mind, but things that we live out in our daily life. Pray that you would bless all those that are here today and bless those that could not be here today. Please be with them and encourage them. Speak to their hearts now, even as we come to listen to what you have to share with us. I pray for your anointing upon not only my mouth, that I'd speak only your words, but upon anyone who will hear me, that their ears would be opened to the truth. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to Luke chapter 4. This morning I want to talk about the reason and the method, or the purpose and the power. Luke chapter 4. And we'll start reading in verse 17. Jesus is sitting in the synagogue. It's the Sabbath day, and it's tradition to ask an honored guest to read a passage. And Jesus was a teacher. He was honored in this group. And so they asked him to read a passage of Scripture, and they handed him the book of Isaiah. Verse 17 of Luke 4. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is the Scripture fulfilled in your ears." Now, Jesus is declaring to us in this passage of Scripture the purpose for his coming, the reason that he came to earth. This was the anointing that God himself had placed upon Jesus, was to do these things here prophesied by Isaiah. That's the old English says Isaiah. And I don't know why exactly they say it that way, but it's Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. And in the prophet Isaiah, he made this prophecy, and Jesus said, "This prophecy today is fulfilled in your ears." He's saying, "This is me. I'm come for this reason. I've been anointed for this purpose." What was that purpose? "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Gospel means good news. Jesus came to bring good news, but not just to anybody, to the poor. And I believe that in the whole counsel of Scripture, he's talking about not just those who are poor financially, otherwise rich people could never come to Jesus. And he did say it's hard for rich people to come to Christ. But Jesus is talking about the poor in spirit. You see, even a rich man must become poor in his heart if he is to receive the gospel. If he is to receive Christ, he must repent. He must realize his need, that he's not able to buy his way into heaven. All of us must be poor if we are to receive the gospel. Jesus came to bring the gospel to the poor, to proclaim it to them. And then he says, he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Let me tell you, brokenheartedness is like an epidemic disease in our nation, isn't it? I look at people all day when I work at Chick-fil-A. They come through, and more are coming through all the time. And I just see in their eyes, oh, sorrow. And even the guy that comes to the window and he's so grumpy, and it's like, wow, do you need some coffee or something? I mean, just doesn't say a word. Money, food. I mean, he just doesn't say anything, and he's incredibly rude. Have a good day, sir. I'm not even going to talk to you. I'm going to speak to you. And then people that are angry and upset. And I just have to kind of stop and have compassion on them because, oh, man, you're so sad. How rough your life must be that over chicken you're going to lose your mind. I mean, people are sad, folks. They're broken. They're brokenhearted. And Jesus came to bring healing to those poor broken hearts. Oh, if they would only listen. If they would only see the Jesus we have, their hearts could be healed. We're going to have pain and sorrow in this world no matter what. You can't get away from it. Period. Sinful world means sinful stuff happens. Sinful stuff happens, brings death and sorrow and suffering. But Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Those that are eaten up with guilt or pain or suffering, he came to bring healing to those people. That's the reason, one of the reasons that he came. And then he says, to preach deliverance to the captives. Not only are people brokenhearted, they're also captive to their own sin. The wickedness of the world has captured them, and they are bound up in chains. And if they're not bound up in chains of obvious things like drugs and alcohol, those are the ones everybody always mentions. The one people don't like to mention is pornography. They like to kind of leave that in the corner, quiet and dark. But that's just as much addicting as cocaine. In fact, they're doing studies on the brain. Pornography affects the brain the same way cocaine does, the same way heroin does. Heroin is an incredibly hard addiction to break, and pornography affects your brain the same way. I mean, people are captives. If they're not captives to things that are more obvious like that, they're captivated to overeating. They're captivated to addictions of any number of other things that they're addicted to. But not only addictions, they're captive to sin. We cannot stop sinning apart from him. We are captive to our sinful nature, and Jesus came for the reason of deliverance. I was attending a meeting, a group of guys that we get together and help each hold each other accountable, and we were talking about. One of the guys said, "What do you mean when you say victory and freedom? Walk in victory." I said, "Well, I'm seeking to walk in victory," and he presented it almost like, "I don't really think that's possible. I think you live in defeat if you're always looking for, you know, how much better you could be." And it was an interesting discussion that we had, but it got me to thinking. And one of the reasons Jesus came to the earth was to bring deliverance from that bondage. He says, "I came to deliver the captives." If I am captive to sin, I can be delivered from that sin through the power of God. Jesus Christ came to do that. Now, I don't want to get bogged down in the details here. I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail. I just want you to hear me. One of the reasons Jesus came was to bring deliverance from captivity. And so nothing should be able to control me apart from the Spirit of God in Christ. It's at least possible. I'm not saying it's easy, but at least it's possible. And the second thing, the next thing he says is recovering of sight to the blind. How many of you know someone who you would say is spiritually blind? Yeah, I know like 18. I mean, you know, it's not hard to think of somebody that you know is completely blind to some truth they need to see. They're blind. Even the people that seem to be kind of arrogant and know-it-all, and you know how, you know all those atheist, leftist weirdos over there. You know, they're very, very bold and confident about there is no God. Evolution made all the world. You must be an idiot to think that God designed everything. Why don't you look at science? What's wrong with you? These are the arrogant, these are the scoffers the Bible talks about. And they're in our world today. And even the scoffer is blinded to the truth. How about those that follow false religions, like our friends were praying for at the Buddhist temple and the Hindu temple and the Islamic mosque? All those people are blind to the truth. They don't see the truth, folks. They're blind. Jesus came to open their eyes. Part of the reason he came was so that people like that would be able to come to him. You see, Jesus didn't come to help all of the good people become better. He didn't come to somehow help those that were righteous and following him to become more righteous. Well, he sort of did, didn't he? Because he came to help us all realize that we're completely poor and degenerate apart from him. He came to help the poor, to help the blind, to help the captives. And all of us are in that boat, if we're honest. Apart from Christ, we're in that boat. He came to bring those people to freedom. To bring them sight so they could see the truth. You know those blind relatives you have that can't see the wall for, they can't see the forest for the trees? They're blind as a bat to spiritual truth. They don't understand the destruction they bring upon themselves every time they wallow in their sin. All those blind people you know, maybe it's somebody very close to you. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a child or a son or a daughter. Maybe it's a parent, a mom or a dad. And they're blind. Jesus came to bring them freedom. He came to open their eyes and bring the light. That's why he came. That's why he's here. He didn't just come then. He's here now. What's the last thing he says? To set at liberty them that are bruised. Them that are bruised. Some translations translate that bruised word to say oppression. Again, more freedom from oppression, from domination, from the dictator that dominates over us, the dictator of sin that oppresses us. And not only that, but the oppression of the enemy. Satan himself would love to oppress us, cause us to be bound up in fear of his power and his greatness, and oh, how horrible he is. Jesus came to bring liberty from that oppression. Satan has no hold over me if I am in Christ. He has no power over me because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I walk in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's been given a name that is above every other name that is named. His power is the greatest of all powers, and no power can stand in his way. That is liberty from oppression. And that's one of the reasons Jesus came. That's the purpose. That's the reason. How about the power? How about the means through which it was accomplished? For that answer, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul is talking to the Corinthians about preaching, about power, about wisdom, about glory. Let's look at verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul is telling the Corinthians, I came to tell you about Jesus Christ and not to persuade you with flowery words of man's wisdom. I came to bring you the truth. That was good. That was good stuff, right? I came to bring you Jesus and him crucified. The means whereby those purposes that Jesus had, the means whereby those things were accomplished was through the cross. The cross of God is the pivotal moment of history upon which everything turns. The death and the resurrection of Jesus is what all of history previous was looking toward and all of history since is looking back at. It was the hinge point upon which all of the deliverance, all of the healing, all of the sight, the light of the world, all of that came through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. That's why Paul said, I'm going to preach just Jesus and the cross. I'm going to declare to you Jesus Christ and him crucified, because that is the power of God. That is the power of God. You see, the Hebrews, it says later on in that chapter, the Hebrews were looking for a sign, looking for power. The Greeks were looking for wisdom and logic, and all of that was contained within the cross. The logic of a sacrifice being made as a substitute for our sins so that our price was paid. And the power of God in the resurrection, proving that it was truly powerful, that it was effective for delivering us. You see, the Jews, they were sacrificing every day. Something every day. Sometimes they'd have special sacrifices. They would sacrifice like 12 animals in one day. All this stuff. And the power of God was that there was one sacrifice necessary, and that was Jesus Christ. And that sacrifice accomplished for us the healing, the deliverance, and the sight that we all needed, all in one time, in one moment. Boom! And we are delivered. We are made free in the cross. And then Jesus rose the third day, proving that everything he said was true. You see, both of those things are connected. The resurrection doesn't mean anything if Jesus didn't really die. The resurrection is not significant if they just knocked Jesus out for a few days and he woke up. If he didn't really, fully, truly die, the resurrection is not important. And if Jesus doesn't come back to life again, then everything he said about himself is suspect. If the resurrection doesn't happen, the cross doesn't mean anything. The cross is not effective because it wasn't really the Son of God, the perfect sacrifice. It was a charlatan claiming to be the Messiah. But when he rose to life, folks, he proved it was all real. So you see how the cross is the power of God. It is therein contained is everything we've sung about today, the love, the forgiveness of God, the incredible power, the grace at Calvary. At Calvary is where it happened. Hallelujah, praise the Lord for his deliverance that he brings to us, for accomplishing the prophecy of Isaiah, the purpose for Jesus to come. He did it all at Calvary. He made a way for us to be free. He made a way for us to be healed. He made a way for us to see the truth. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for his resurrection. You know, we're coming up on Resurrection Sunday. I don't like to say Easter. It's old traditions. Resurrection Day, that's what it is. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. We ought to remember all year long the power of the cross. And we ought to proclaim the ability of Jesus to help people. Are you brokenhearted? Jesus can heal you. Are you a captive to sin? Jesus can free you. Are you blind as a bat? You probably don't even know that. But God can deliver those that are blind. And one day, when finally God removes the scales from your eyes, as he did for Paul, and finally you see the truth and you go, wow, I can't believe how blind I was, but thank you, Jesus, for giving me sight. Jesus can deliver us. Are we oppressed of the enemy? Jesus brings us liberty. And he did it at the cross. And that's what we should remember. That's what we should proclaim to one another and to our loved ones as well. In our daily life, as we have an opportunity to proclaim the cross. That's what we ought to be doing. Don't forget the cross. Don't forget the power of the cross. Paul said to the Corinthians, that's the only thing I'm preaching. I'm not going to get flowery and persuasive and all logical. To you, I'm preaching the cross. No, only the cross and him crucified. Jesus and him crucified is what he said. Amen. Lord, we are grateful to you for the payment that you made for our sins, for the deliverance that you brought to us, the sight that you gave to us, the healing that your blood accomplishes for us. Thank you for enduring the suffering of the cross on our behalf. Please remind us of that this time of year. Remind us of that all year long. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.